Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, April 8, 2019. Sudanese protesters in New York support the call for President Bashir to step down.
Professionals who are the leaders who are planning all these demonstrations and rallies, they have their certain things to do. First, it will be transitional government, and most probably it could be for 4 years.
And a North Africa expert says the situation in Khartoum is not clear.
The National Army is more sympathetic with the protester. This is why they tried to protest them. But again, they cleared the compound today. So that means there is a kind of conflict.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Sudan's interior minister told the Reuters news agency that 6 people were killed in Khartoum and 1 in Darfur during protests on Saturday. Thousands of Sudanese held a sit-in outside the country's army headquarters for a second night since Sunday, demanding an end to President Omar al-Bashir's 30-year rule. Some reports say soldiers stepped in to protect protesters from tear gas thrown by security forces. Sudanese around the world joined the protest against Bashir last weekend, including protesters in New York City. While the goal of the demonstrations are not clear, some U.S.-based protesters admit there is uncertainty about what comes next. Ayen Deng Bior was at the New York protest on Saturday and has this report.
He must go!
Hundreds of Sudanese protesters repeated that chant in New York on Saturday. Some anti-regime protesters, including Baltimore, Maryland resident Kamis Mohammed, said a long and unpredictable road lies ahead.
I believe, they think when al-Bashir go, the situation will be very good. But that's not true. The change is coming, step by step. We can, create a temporary constitution, after that permanent constitution, and after that we have a lot of stuff to establish. Our economy right now is very bad. We need to create a very, very good, healthy economy, but that will take very long time.
Protesters have been defiant ever since President Bashir declared a national emergency in late February. Sudanese opposition groups, professionals, and civil society organizations signed a Declaration of Freedom and Change in January, which called for a transitional government. At the Saturday protests in New York, Philadelphia resident Yagub Bahar said he has confidence in the demonstration's leaders.
There are so many people in the Sudan. Those are the professionals who are the leaders who are planning all these demonstrations and rallies. They have their certain things to do. First, it will be transitional government, and most probably it could be for 4 years to set and later on to leave all the parties in order to have a very good elections, and later on we will form our parliament for the Sudanese. Asking for democracy, democracy, that is the most important thing.
Sudanese native Hamroor Gabriel, who is also from Philadelphia, thinks things could not get any worse in his home country.
You know, now it is just a chaos. It is just a one-man show. He's just doing anything in his mind. And the corruption has gone beyond the imagination in the country. So nothing could be worse. This is, firstly, nothing could be worse than what is going now. If Bashir goes today, I believe that this time, this few years, few last years, has given all the Sudanese people an opportunity to think of themselves and unite and to think what problems they really have and how to confront them.
But for now, Sudanese in the diaspora are focused on getting rid of al-Bashir.
After he fall, we are going to build our Sudan by ourselves. We need an institution. We are going to build our own institution and we're going to follow it. We don't need any dictator, any, military man to do. Yeah, we're going to build our country by ourselves, by an institution only.
NetBlocks.org, a social media monitoring platform, reported Sunday that Twitter, Facebook, WhatsApp, and other social media platforms were blocked in Sudan as protests intensified. Ayan Dengbior, VOA News, New York.
The situation in Sudan is unpredictable, with protesters posting different images on Facebook from Omdurman and Khartoum. A huge number of protesters are said to have congregated in front of the military headquarters in Khartoum since Saturday. Professor Hamdi Abdulrahman is an expert on North Africa. He says some sections of the military in Sudan have sided with the protesters. Abdulrahman says it is not easy to understand the current power dynamics in Khartoum.
The army, the national army, is more sympathetic with the protesters. This is why they tried to protest them. But again, they cleared the compound today. So that means there is a kind of conflict inside those, behind President al-Bashir. The army looks neutral, but the other militia and the security forces, they are more loyal to al-Bashir.
And let's look at the role of the Muslim Brotherhood. They have been protecting him from the time Bashir came to power until today. What is their role in this protest? Are they part of the protest?
The power of al-Bashir up till this moment, coming from three circles. The first is the Islamist at large. So that you are talking about the rule of political Islam. Yes, there is some defects. Those who, publicly criticized al-Bashir, but the main bulk of the Islamists is still defending the regime and they consider it as a holy task. The second circle is the military, the military and security forces. And there is no, up till now, any sign of division or any rift we can notice among the security forces who are defending al-Bashir. The third circle of power is his political party, which is now under, the one picked from his side, Ahmed Haroon, who is charged from the, from the international court. Of course. So these three circles of power in Sudan is still defending al-Bashir.
After Bashir, what is next? Because the protesters are saying Bashir must go. But what is next after that?
As usual, I think there will be another general from the military to chair a transitional council. Or sometimes a big civilian like Algeria, in the case of Boudiaf, who picked Boudiaf in order to make the negotiation regarding the transition with the civilian forces. But of course, if al-Bashir decided to resign, it would be something like Zimbabwe. That they provide, all assurance, for the Mugabe, in this case for Bashir, and one from the old guard will preside over, and the system will continue. Here, I think everybody will be happy, because the main demonstration is They call it in Arabic tasqubas. That means just fall in relation to al-Bashir from power. And for the regional power, I think it will be the continuity of stability in Sudan. So you cannot jeopardize the instability, political instability. The situation in Libya is getting more hot because of the siege of Tripoli by the National Army under the leadership of General Haftar. So it is, you know, the regional, you know, instability is very important. So we can put it in this holistic picture in the whole region.
That's Professor Hamdi Abdulrahman, an expert on North Africa affairs. He was speaking with me from Dubai earlier today. Leaders of the Catholic, Anglican, and Scottish Presbyterian churches are in Rome preparing for 2 days of spiritual reflections for the leaders of South Sudan. Pope Francis and the head of the Anglican Communion, Justin Welby, will lead prayer sessions for South Sudanese leaders on Wednesday and Thursday. Reporter Sabina Castelfranco in Rome says the Scottish Presbyterian moderator is also taking part in the spiritual retreat aimed at preparing South Sudan's leaders for the formation of a transitional government of national unity in Juba in May.
They're going to be holding a spiritual retreat for the leaders of South Sudan for 2 days at the Vatican. Now, this is going to be a meeting at which Pope Francis is going to take part on the second day. It will be attended also by members of other churches, including the Archbishop of Canterbury, and there will be a prayer session for South Sudan. Now, South Sudan is one of the world's youngest countries, and for Pope Francis, he has always been very concerned about what has been going on there, particularly recently in recent years with, you know, more than 400,000 people having been killed and more than 4 million who have had to flee from their homes. So he is seeking to give new impetus and new support to both the president and the rebel leader and former vice president of South Sudan so that they can kickstart these plans for a transitional government, possibly from next month.
Beside Pope Francis and the head of the Anglican Church, are there any other church leaders there present at that retreat?
There will be other church leaders present at the retreat. And the main point is for also Catholic members of the church to discuss together something that the Pope has always said he is willing to do, and that is for the Catholic Church to contribute to help rebuild an education system in South Sudan that is dilapidated, and also a health sector that requires significant help, and of course provide support in the reconstruction efforts that will be needed in South Sudan. But obviously the first person that church leaders want to see is peace in the country. And so this is the whole idea of the spiritual retreat, so that they can come together and discuss how best to move forward so that the peace remain stable and that they can bring some stability to the country.
Sabina, you've been covering a lot of activities in Rome and specifically watching the Vatican carefully. Has there ever been any retreat of this sort for other world leaders?
Well, this is quite an important one, and it shows that Pope Francis is certainly very concerned about what is going on in South Sudan. It was just recent that he, last month, in fact, received the president of South Sudan, Salva Kiir. I mean, in the past, the Pope has, for other countries, also held spiritual retreat. But certainly, this is a very significant one that he is doing, it shows that he is particularly concerned with South Sudan and really wants to put an end to what has been happening there in recent years. As we all know, the peace deal was signed in Addis Ababa last September. This is a process that the Pope wants to make sure now will bring an end to the insecurity that has been experienced by the population in South Sudan long now.
Beside President Salva Kiir and rebel leader Riek Machar, do you know of any other South Sudanese leaders who are present at this retreat?
I'm not sure about the other Sudanese leaders, but certainly there will be other vast officials that are taking part. Certainly the Secretary of State, Pietro Parolin, will be welcoming them. And there will be other members of the Catholic Church that the South Sudanese leaders will be meeting with.
That's reporter Sabina Castelfranco in Rome speaking with me earlier today. You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Catholic school teachers in Juba go on strike. Find out why when we return back after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. Question today.
What is your golden rule in life?
My golden rule is never to give up, no matter what, whether it's on family challenges, money problems, work related, I just never give up.
Golden rule. No, I don't allow men to play with my life. That is my golden rule. And I don't allow anyone to talk ill about my parents and my family.
Put God first, because in everything you need God. And as you know, the fearing of God is the beginning of knowledge.
Not to lie, I always want to base my living, everything I do, my speaking, my saying, in facts and truth.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus. Teachers at St. Daniel Comboni Secondary School in Juba are on strike over low salaries and poor working conditions. Philip Lukudu is one of the teachers. He says teachers are also angry because the Catholic Church dismissed a nun from the Comboni congregation in Nairobi without explanation. Winnie Chirino has this report for VOA from Juba.
Students at St. Comboni Secondary School chant, "No Sister Lily, No School," to show their support for Sister Lily Grace Akumu, who was let go, and other teachers during a sit-down strike today at the Juba School. Maha Ibrahim, a fourth-year student at the school, says students have not been told since Thursday due to the teacher's strike. While most students at the Catholic Church-run school are girls, there are only two female teachers. Ibrahim says female students loved Sister Lily because she volunteered to mentor the girls, and Ibrahim says many girls are now disciplined due to her effort.
We currently need Sister Lily. This is one of the greatest reasons why we are really crying. We need her back. Without her, I don't think we'll function well. She was really a mother to us, someone who can guide us, someone who, every Thursday we're having a meeting with her, girls' meeting, and she talks to us, advises us.
Emmanuel Ladu, who teaches agriculture at St. Comboni Secondary School, says the teachers petitioned the Parents and Teachers Association on Friday, asking the association to address the teachers' concerns. Ladu says the church dismissed the school's head teacher several weeks back, leaving no clear management in place.
There is no proper system of administration in the school for us to follow up our issues. Two, since we started the school, there is no proper meetings being handled in the school. The headmaster is not there. Number three, There is no chain of command from the administration of the church to the school administration.
The school's biology teacher, Philip Lokudu, says teachers are also protesting the dismissal of Sister Lily. He says the Catholic Archdiocese of Juba has been dismissing teachers without explaining, leaving the rest of the teachers worried that they too may be fired at any time for no reason. Lokudu describes the salaries the teachers earn as peanuts and have been asking for a salary increase for a long time.
We have been asking for this almost for 2 years now, that at least the salary has to be raised to another level, but they did not make that at all, and it was just something very small increment that cannot help at all.
Tomohiro Joseph, chairman of the school's Parents and Teachers Association, confirms he received a letter from the teachers on Friday informing him of their intention to strike. He says the teachers raised concerns about the lack of a headmaster at the school, the dismissal of Sister Lily, and the lack of a proper salary. He says the association held a meeting with the Vicar General of the Catholic Archdiocese of Juba, who said Archbishop Paulino Lokudu will make the final decision on the matter.
You go and communicate, either you use a mobile or you use the internet, communicate so that the bishop also rebuke the decision of terminating the contract of Sister Lily. And this is what we have reached today, and even the problem of the salaries, that they are going to look and they will increase the salaries of the teachers.
Archbishop Lokudu is currently out of the country. Father Maurice Ladue, Vicar General of the Catholic Archdiocese of Juba, encourages teachers and students to remain calm as the church assigns a new administration for the school.
The new administration that we're going to put in the school, I think the school is going to add the salary of the teachers according to it, so that it can help. And concerning the sister, I think this one depends on the congregation. If the congregation wants her to come back, she can come back.
Teachers say their strike will continue indefinitely unless the Catholic Archdiocese of Juba responds to their demands. Students insist they will not return to school until the administration renews Sister Lily Grace Akomu's contract at the school. For VOA News, I am Winnie Serino in Juba.
Community leaders in Yei River State are encouraging government officials to promote cultural dances as a tool for restoring peace and reconciliation among communities torn apart by years of conflict in South Sudan. Different communities from the Greater Bahr al-Ghazal and Equatoria held a cultural gala in Yei Town over the weekend to promote peaceful coexistence. Daniel Friday Martin has more for VOA from Yei Town.
Azande men and women dressed in traditional attire dance vigorously under the afternoon sun heat during Saturday's cultural gala. Dozens of communities living in and around Yei Town took part in the gala that emphasized the country's diverse cultures by singing songs that promote reconciliation and peaceful coexistence. Speaking in Arabic, Anthony Diko, a community leader from Greater Equatoria, says organizing monthly cultural dances will help promote unity and social cohesion between diverse communities.
The government should grant us our cultural freedom as people of this country. What happened in the past has gone, and we have decided as communities to dance, unite, reconcile, and be in peace together as one people of South Sudan living in Yei.
Also speaking in Arabic, 26-year-old Mary Abouk, a cultural dancer from the Greater Bahr al-Ghazal region, says people from different communities who resented each other for years are now reconciling.
I am very happy because people are forgiving each other. Tribes that refused to greet each other for years are now greeting each other. And people from Bahr al-Ghazal are dancing with people from the Kuku tribe, and the people from Upper Nile are dancing with the people from Kakwa tribe. We are now one people, and we want praise and self-care to stop the war so that we live in peace.
Speaking in Arabic, 61-year-old Simon Makej, a community leader from the Upper Nile region, agrees that promoting cultural diversity promotes peaceful coexistence.
We came over here to show to the people, the government, and the world at this Freedom Square that we are now brothers and sisters. We, the 64 tribes living in Yei, are in need of peace, not war again.
Community leaders in Ye say they want government and opposition factions to reconcile and commit fully to implementing the Revitalized Peace Agreement. Gary Moses is program manager of the local NGO Reconcile International.
When people come together, they laugh together, they dance. So you try to forget what has happened. Our intended outcome is that to see people reconcile, to see people once again pass messages through their cultures. And these cultures actually have got norms that when we follow, sometimes they actually prevent us from doing bad things.
Ye River State Minister for Information, Culture, Youth and Sports, Ma Moses, says officials are working with local groups to organize monthly cultural events in each of the state's counties.
We have seen that it is the best tool for uniting our people. You've seen how people, you know, so love to one another, how people easily forgive one another through the cultural gala. My message to the people of Ye River State and to South Sudan as a whole is that time has come for us to work together as people of South Sudan. Time has come for us to unite. Time has come for us to love one another and to forgive one another, because this country belongs to all of us.
This is the first time the state has organized an event for diverse communities to come together and promote peace through song and dance since deadly fighting spread to the area in 2016. In late February, National Salvation Front rebel leader General Thomas Cirilo Soka said the international community should blame the South Sudan government for fighting in Ye River State. He said the government's South Sudan's People's Defense Forces initiated the most recent violence. In February, the United States, Britain and Norway issued a joint statement saying the fighting around Ye Town represented a flagrant breach of the 2017 ceasefire and the September peace deal. South Sudan's conflict killed tens of thousands of people and displaced more than 4.5 million residents. For VOA News, I'm Daniel Friday Martin in Ye Town.
That's our show for this Monday. We now leave you with the song As-Salam Wasal by a group from Blue Nile State in Sudan. We've been listening to that beautiful melody from Blue Nile State in Sudan, singing about peace. I'm John Tanza in Washington. We are glad you could join us. Tune in again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Yomar Khamis, Yomar Khamis.